just to sort of begin to get into the issue of biomarkers, Heather, what we see in the faculty for this meeting, in the four general medical oncologists, and the majority of the oncologists that we surveyed, is really a move towards NGS as almost the central piece in terms of looking mutations, certainly in patients with non-squamous cancer. And then I guess the other piece being another fraction of people getting lung panels or one-off assays. Heather, can you talk a little bit about how you think through the issue and how you think is appropriate for a general medical oncologist to think through the issue of biomarker testing in a metastatic non-squamous?
So again, great question, and really one of the key things that we're all facing on a regular basis. So when I think about a panel, again, with biomarker, there's the PD-L1 part. So that's going to be done. It's immunohistochemistry, comes back quickly. And then you've got all of these other genes that are relevant. And still, when you think about, well, what's FDA labeled, you've got your EGFR, ALK, BRAF, and ROS1. And so those are the ones that are most critical. At the same time, we're moving very quickly to having lots of different options for KRAS and RET, and we do for NTRK, and so HER2 as well. I mean, there's a long, long list, and that's where the NGS helps, because if you do the one at a time, it's going to take weeks and weeks. And if you do an NGS panel, hopefully you can get those results back within 2 weeks. If you're doing liquid testing, liquid biopsies, you can often get those back in a week, as been alluded to, with the tissue. Some of them are closer to that. Most of them are more like 2 weeks. I think those of us with in-house assays working on the speed, but sometimes those are even a little bit longer. And so that's then the challenge, is if you do one at a time, you end up having a long, long time go by. If you do NGS, it's a minimum time of at least 2 weeks. And so some of us are then left in this hybrid model. At least in my center, we do a rapid PCR assay for EGFR, and we still do FISH for ALK and ROS. So we're going to get those back within a week. And in a newly diagnosed patient, especially in our patient population, that's going to be the majority of the mutations we find. And that's going to help us in trying to make those first line decisions. We like to wait for the NGS to come back so we've got the full story, but sometimes you just can't, and you know that EGFR, ALK, and ROS and BRAF are negative. You can kind of make that choice to move towards chemotherapy or chemo plus IO. In a non-smoker or light smoker patient, even with high PD-L1, I'm pretty hesitant to give IO alone, pembrolizumab alone. I'll normally give a combination in that setting. But I think the real question is around the biomarkers. And where we struggle is the fact that there are so many different companies offering testing, and they all claim to be the best. And it's pretty difficult to tease that out and look at the varying sensitivities and specificities of the assays. And a lot of us are then, well, what are the costs? Because that's what the hospital systems are going to be looking at. How quickly do those results come back? Again, that's what we're going to be looking at as clinicians. But is the quality of the testing really the same across all of them? And I think that's where there's a lot of challenges right now, is there's not a good way for us to be able to evaluate that or even have a sense of it. And that's coming from an academic, right? So I think for a community physician who's getting bombarded by people coming in and saying, well, use our test, use our test, use our test, we're really struggling with how do we get to more uniformity in what's being tested and also get to sort of best quality for our patients. So that's where we're all struggling. But the reason we do NGS is so we can theoretically get all of the information back at once.